I want you to open your Bibles this morning to the third chapter of the book of Acts. The third chapter of the book of Acts. Hallelujah. Third chapter of the book of Acts. If you have that, I want you to say amen this morning. How many is going to create an atmosphere? It's going to make it your sole duty this morning to help Brother Lamb preach. Verse 1, I'm going to read more scripture today than I normally do. So just bear with us. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which happened unto them. Lift your hands this morning and pray for us, if you would. Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. We're asking and praying that you look down upon us and that you strengthen, Lord, that you would encourage, Lord. And I know you've laid this upon our heart, and I know you knew who was going to be here when I did not, Father. And so I pray that you'll be a blessing to them, God, and encourage them, and that they would leave different than they came. Hallelujah. I ask you to help the home folk, God. We need help, Lord. We're needing encouraged and strengthened this morning. And Jesus, we'll give you the praise. In your holy name we pray. The church says amen. Hallelujah. So good to be here. Shake a hand. Tell somebody you love them and you're glad they're in the house of the Lord this morning. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'd like to take my text this morning out of verse 2. The Bible said, "And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple." Well, I've named this message, I don't know how many different titles, and I guess this one is the only one that counts, because this is the one I ended up with. We're going to preach this morning on get away from the gate. Get away from that gate. One of the tragedies of our time is that Christians have let the world define exactly what success and failure is. To be rich and famous is to be successful. To be intelligent, to have a high IQ, means that you're something special. In order for a woman to be beautiful, she has to weigh 115 pounds and somehow or another squeeze into a proverbial size 3. We're producing a generation of youth who know more about manicures. They know more about enlargements and reductions and liposuctions and facelifts than they do about morals. And then they do about character. Somebody say amen this morning. We're producing a generation of young ladies who know nothing about motherhood and child rearing. We're producing a generation of young men who will not work and support their families. We're producing a generation of young men who will not father their children. And we're struggling. And American society is falling apart, whether you believe it or not, because we're not putting things inside of our children that's going to make men and women out of them. Now, I expect this from the world. But my heart is grieved when I see children our children doing these things. I expect the world to waste their lives trying to please somebody that it's really not going to matter after they please them. I expect the world to do that. But when I see our children in the house of God doing these things, it alarms me. I'm alarmed to see our young people in our youth choirs, in our youth groups, in our youth camps following after the trends of the world. It's grieved my heart this morning. We're producing a reckless generation of young people. The spirit of the world has crept into our churches. Now you sit real still, and I'm going to make myself loud and clear this morning. And you're going to know exactly what I'm trying to tell you when I'm done. Some of you won't sing because you're not good enough. Some of you won't stand and testify because you can't speak well enough. You won't do anything for God because you're not smart enough or you're not from the right family. This is the spirit of the world. You're letting the world define what failure and success is to you. It has to be the spirit of the world because God, He does not care how smart you are. A God does not care how wise you are because the Bible said that God had chosen the foolish things of the world to confound those which are wise. A God doesn't care how strong you are. He doesn't care how tall you are. The Word of God said He had chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. You need to shut that spirit of the world off and realize this morning that God wants you just like you are, and He can use you just like you are. You don't got to be something that you're not. You don't got to pretend to be somebody you're not. Just be what you are, and God will lift you up, and God will use you in a mighty way this morning. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. I come to tell somebody this morning, there's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with your mind. There's nothing wrong with your appearance. There's nothing wrong with your voice. There's nothing wrong with your faults. A God can take what you've got and He can use that. But it's the enemy that's telling you these things. It's the spirit of the world trying to glamorize the church house. We don't need glamorized. We need glorified and justified. You listen to me close, young lady. A God, He'll use you just like you are. You don't got to pretend. You don't got to put a mask on. He knows who you are, and He called you just like you were. He'll change you. He'll help you. He'll put in you what needs to be in you. But don't you let that world define who you're going to be in God. Because when God gets done with you, that world's going to be jealous and envious of what you are, my God. Wow. There's nothing wrong with you. We cannot let the spirit of the world control our minds and our thought patterns. We cannot base who we are on what anyone else thinks about us. We cannot base where we're going on what anybody tells us we're going to be able to go to. We cannot base what God is going to do in our lives by anybody else's opinion. We need only care about what God thinks about us. And I'm telling you this morning that God don't only love you, but God likes you. I come to tell somebody God likes you. There are people I love, but I don't like. But God not only loves us this morning, He likes us, and He wants to talk to you, and He likes you so much He gave His Son so He could have a continuous and constant fellowship with you. Hallelujah. Because of this attitude, because of this frame of mind, hallelujah. Brother Richardson, somebody just shot right through our yard. Can you go check and see what they're doing? Because of this feeling, we are paralyzed. You listen to me. If God has ever spoke to me about a service, He spoke to me this morning. We are halted. We as a congregation, as individuals, as the body of Christ, we are stuck. We have become immobile. The devil's making you believe stuff like that. I'm unworthy. I'm useless. God can't use me. I'm never going to amount to anything. And God, I know that God has helped me, and I've made testimonies, but I fall right back, and I won't, and the enemy's on my trail, and so on and so forth. You're talking things like that. Hey, as you're afraid to try anything new, you're afraid to launch out in Christ, you're afraid you can't make it, you become tired, and now you're stuck. But if I come this morning to serve notice on the devil, oh, you are a liar. You're trying to paralyze our people from becoming what God has called them to be. These people are precious. They can do all things through Jesus Christ, who strengthens us. But nothing can stop me, because God is in my life. I can go anywhere God said. I can do anything God said. I can be anything God said I could be, because God is going to help me. Somebody say, I'm more than a conqueror. Somebody say, I'm more than a conqueror. Listen to me, church. The devil doesn't care if you're just moving. The children of Israel were moving. But for 40 years, they moved in circles. He doesn't want you to go forward. He doesn't want you to fulfill your destiny. He doesn't want God to make a mighty man or a mighty woman out of you. Oh, he wants you to be stuck right where you're at. He doesn't care if you completely backslide or not. As long as you don't make no more progress. As long as you stay where you're at. He knows eventually you will back up. If you stay stuck at the gate, while walking through the pages of the book of Acts, in the 3rd chapter, we're going to stroll by a man. He's a man laying at the entrance of the temple. He lays at the gate called Beautiful. This gate was added by Herod the Great, between the court of the Gentiles and the court of Israel. It was 30 cubits high. It was 15 cubits wide. And it was made of Corinthian brass. It was beautiful, my friend. It was more impressive. It was more pompous. It was its workmanship. It was of grandeur. It was splendor. In so much it was more beautiful than those that were covered by silver and those covered by gold. Here in a beautiful place, a set of man who did not feel beautiful. Here in a beautiful place, a set of man who did not feel very beautiful. Here sat a man in a beautiful position, but he had an ugly condition. In a beautiful place. Did you ever feel that way? You was in a beautiful position, but you had a bad condition. Maybe a beautiful marriage, but you had a, come on, saints of God, in a beautiful place, but you got a bad condition this morning. A beautiful marriage. Oh, but your condition won't let you enjoy it. Saved, but you got a problem, it won't let you enjoy it. A beautiful position, but it's asphyxiated by a bad condition. I want us to look real carefully at this man's position. I think it important to understand that he was sitting at the gate of the temple. He was laying between the church and the road that ran beside it. He was lying between the house of God and between the world. He was lying close enough to hear the singing and shouting, yet he was not close enough to enjoy the blessings himself. He wasn't in the temple, but he was standing close enough to the temple that he could watch all the men and women passing in and out. He was kind of stuck in the middle of being on the inside and being on the outside. He wanted to be inside, but he was unclean, and he wasn't allowed to be the inside, but he also wanted to be outside. There he could shake his cup and he could receive money. And furthermore, he fit in better out there than he did inside. Close enough to hear that there's something going on the inside that's better than what he's hearing on the outside. He was close enough to see the smiles on the faces of the saints of God as they came out of the temple, and he could hear them talking about the meeting they had and the power of God. He was close enough that he could see people bringing thousands of lambs and sheep and goats, and they could see the priest offering them up. Oh, but he was so far away that he couldn't make an offering for himself. So very close, yet so far away. He was so close to being in that he was pathetic. But he was so far from being in that he was losing out on all the blessings of God. Stuck at the gate. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been stuck at the gate? Ever felt like you were somewhere in the middle of a blessing and a cursing? Have you ever felt like you were somewhere in the middle of being in God's will and being out of God's will? Have you could almost smell it? You could almost touch it, but it was just out of your reach. You try to stretch for it in revival. You try to stretch for it at prayer meeting. You try to sing it down. You try to shout it down, but it just seems to be just outside of your reach. You can see the lights ahead, but you just cannot for the life of you get to where you're needing to go. If so, you may understand the lame man today. If you've been there, if you've been to that place where you can almost touch God's will, but yet you feel like you're a million miles away, you know what the lame man feels. Ah, hallelujah. It's hard sometimes laying at the gate of being at a place you really don't want to be in, but for some reason you have found some safety in its normality. You've been there so long, you've learned how to grow accustomed. You've learned how to deal with it. And change is something you're afraid of. You can be stuck because of change. Change will cause you to be stuck in the gate. Change is very hard for some people to accept. There is a certain amount of security being stuck at the gate. I've always wondered why a woman would stay with a man who cheats on her, who beats her up and slaps her around, calls her an idiot, tells her she's stupid, tells her she's fat. You're not even saved if you do that stuff. I never could understand why a man would just hold on to a rebellious, nagging wife. But as I grow a little older, I'm starting to understand people are terrified of change. And you can get stuck in a gate of a bad marriage, a gate of financial problems, a gate of physical conditions, and you're afraid to change. You ever seen anybody that was day-to-day, anyone even come to the prayer line, is afraid to get healed, is afraid to go and move, and they drop their check? You see, there's a certain security of being stuck at the gate, and people are scared to death of change. They may be living in pure hell. Oh, hallelujah. But they've always lived in that place, and they know how to cope with it now. They may be living in a mess. Oh, and you say, why don't you get out? It's because they've grown secure in where they're at, and they're afraid to try anything else. They're afraid to come out. You see, churches, they get stuck at the gate because they're afraid of change. Well, Brother Lamb, we're going to do it this way because Poppy and Aunt Lucy always did it that way. That's all right, but if you're stuck at the gate, sometimes you gotta turn things around. Sometimes you gotta have change in your life, in your checkbook, in your finances, in your business, in your church, in your marriage. Some of you need to quit being stuck at the gate, and you need to do something different and quit being afraid of changing things. Past. Second thing. The past will cause you to be stuck at the gate. People who are stuck at the gate, stuck somewhere between where they came from and where they're going. Stuck in between the past and destiny. They are continually letting yesterday steal today. And then in return, that molests today and it steals tomorrow. Continually, every single time they turn around and God is trying to do something for them, the past reaches up and pulls them back down. And because of that, tomorrow is also hindered. They are stuck at the gate. God tells you to do something that you're like, no, 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 I can't do that. I tried that last year and I messed up. And I can't do it again because if I do, I'll mess up. No, I can't do that because my mama tried that and mama got hurt. And mama said, don't try it. Listen, you're stuck at the gate of things that happened 20 years ago. Tearing your marriage up today. Things that happened as a little girl. Messing with your mind. Hallelujah, as a little young man. Oh, messing with your mind. And the past has got you stuck at the gate. A past failure is reminding you that because you failed 10 years ago, you can never do it again. A past failure is reminding you that you're lousy and a worthless piece of trash and nobody wants to hear you. And nobody wants to see you, and nobody cares if you come or not. So here you sit at the same place you've been for years. You ain't moved nowhere. You say the same little prayer. You're doing the same little thing, and God can't get you to move because you're stuck at the gate. Your pastor's telling you you can't, and I'm telling you God says you can. Forget those things that are behind and reach forth unto those things that are before. Lift your hands this morning and give God some glory. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Stuck at the gate. Some of us are stuck at the gate this morning. So here you sit. You're in here. You're in the house of God and you're saved. I'm not even saying that you're on your way to hell. And I am saying that God is not being able to pull out of you everything that He's wanting to pull out of you because you're stuck at the gate and your life has become stalemated. You want to make a move, but it seems like every move you make, you've got somebody looking at you and talking about what you used to be. I'm just going to tell you right now, if I start bringing up my past, I'll never preach again. If I start pondering on the things I used to do, I'll never come to the house of God again. You got to suck that thing off. Even sleeping with corpses too long. Kick the corpse out of the bed. Quit touching dead things. Dead issues. Dead past. What's gone is gone. Let bygones be bygones. Hindsight may be 20-20. But you don't got to let it put a chain on you. You don't got to let it bar you down. It's got no bearing. God can turn that thing around. In the past, it means nothing anymore. Don't be stuck because of your past. People will be stuck at the gate because of people. People will cause you to be stuck at the gate. Things that people have said to us. People who have hurt us. People who hurt a family member can paralyze us from moving anywhere. And I was preaching this Monday before I asked Brother Caraway to come preach. I've had this on my heart for over a week. And said, don't you nobody in this house say I'm throwing anything. I ain't throwing nothing this morning. I'm just bringing you the mail. God told me to tell some of you, you've been stuck because of people. You've been stuck at the gate. A peer pressure from what people think about you can make you stop. A peer pressure from what people will say about you will make you stand still. They put their hand over your head and they tell you that you can only come this high and no farther. They don't want you to change, because if you change, you may pass them up and you may get more of God than they got. Hallelujah. They don't want you to change, because you might actually enjoy life and you may actually enjoy church and you may actually find a pastor you love. They don't want you to move. They don't want you to change. Hey, let me tell somebody something this morning. When God gets ready to lift you up, when God gets ready to lift you out, when God gets ready to raise you up, He'll break arms, He'll break fingers, He'll break the problems. There's nothing that's going to hold you down. Don't be stuck at the gate. Hallelujah. Wow. I know many people who have let people disable them. Hallelujah. Help me, Holy Ghost. Brother Lamb, I'll never go back to church. I've heard it 1,000 times. I'll never go back to church. That preacher hurt me. And everybody knows that all preachers are the same. And furthermore, everybody down there is a hypocrite. You preach in revival, you hear that over and over and over again. All I need to say this morning is move on and keep on praising God. Do what you got to do, but don't lose your victory. Just keep on moving. Don't let the enemy have you. Don't let him steal your soul. If you got to do a turnaround, do a turnaround. If you got to get on your knees, get on your knees. If you got to walk around the house of God, just take off walking. My God, don't lose your victory over no preacher, over no singers, no deacons. Don't let Brother Lamb rob your victory. You get the victory for yourself. And no matter what happens to you, saints, hold on to God. Hold on to God. Don't be stuck at the gate because of people. How you might as well hold your seatbelts on. I've been feeling this for over a week. I need to unleash this thing. Hey, and some of you are here and you're saying, man, you know my life. I'm just reading the mail this morning. Hey, I'm not going to let you stop me. Yeah, I had family that said he'll never preach. I'm still preaching. They said he'll never pastor. I'm still pastoring. I want to move on. I ain't got time to be stuck at the gate for people that don't care anyway. Hallelujah. Hallelujah anyhow. Hallelujah anyhow. They said he's deceived. I said, hallelujah anyhow. They said, you can't leave our church. I said, hallelujah anyhow. I'm going to move on. I feel the voice of God calling me, and I'm tired of being stuck. And I ain't raising my baby stuck. I'm coming out. I'm coming out. I feel the Holy Ghost. I'd advise anybody in this house, and I feel the Holy Ghost. Don't you put your hand over my head and tell me I can only go so high. God will break your fingers. And if you're living for God this morning, that's where it's going to be for you. I don't care who puts their hands over your head and say, oh, you can jump, but you can't leave this high. God will break everything in the way. There's nothing can stop you. When Jesus says, come up hither, you're going to come up. I don't care what's in the way, it's going to move. Because God will have His way in your life. Well, move on, but hang on. Somebody say, move on. I'm on the move. You're not going to hold me at the gate no more. Change will cause some of you to be stuck at the gate. Your past will cause some of you to be stuck at the gate. People will cause you to be stuck at the gate. Somebody touch your neighbors to get away from that gate. Get away from that gate. Now you're looking at me funny, but I'm talking to you this morning. You know I am. Get away from that gate. 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 Whatever your gate is, those are the three gates that God told me to talk to you about this morning. But some of you probably got other gates you're stuck in. You're stuck in in depression. You're stuck in oppression. You're stuck in a marriage. You don't know what to do. You're stuck in a gate. You don't know where to go. You don't know what to say. You don't know what to do. I'm telling you, get away from that gate. I'll get away from that gate. I'll quit being stuck between your past and your future. And let God work your destiny out. You know, the Bible said that we are predestined. Now, I believe that we can alter our destiny. I believe we can alter it. But let me give you a little English exam this morning. That prefix pre means before. That word destinated means your end. If I ask you what's your destination, that means where you're going to end up at, right? You're pre, beforehand, a destinated, ended. A God knew your end before you were even born. He said, before I formed thee in thy mother's womb, I knew thee. I ordained thee. I sanctified thee. You might as well go to sleep because God, He knows what tomorrow holds. Hey, I remember when I was in sin and I had a television. I used to love to watch an old WWF wrestling. All them knuckleheads, they'd be slamming them in the heads of chairs, flipping them out of the rings, and the crowd would go wild. Everybody's flipping out. But you look over in the corner, their managers are over there with their hands crossed. They're not excited. They're not jubilant. You want to know why? They know the fight's been fixed. I said, they know the fight's been fixed. And some of you, you've come down in a desperate situation and you cried out to God, oh God, I need help. Oh, I'm hurting. I ain't going to make it. But it seems like God crosses His arms and He ain't in no hurry. I've got news for you. The fight has been fixed. But God is going to help you. I said, God is going to help you. My. Change the past. People will cause you to be stuck. I want to bring to your attention this man's condition. We've talked about his position. I want to talk about his condition. This man had a serious need. He was lame. Why he was lame, I do not know. How long he was lame? From his mother's womb. He was lame from his mother's womb. This was a problem he was born with. This was a problem he was raised with. He had endured this his whole entire life. This was an old problem. This was not something that sprung upon him overnight. This was something that he had dealt with his entire life. He had to be carried everywhere he went. I think it's important to understand that he was dependent upon everyone around him to carry him from one place to the next. He could not walk on his own. He could not run. He could not leap. He could not jump. He could not skip on his own. Someone else had to help him everywhere he went. And I've met a few people like that. If you don't preach it down on them, they don't get it. If you don't sing it down on them, they don't get it. Oh, if you don't pray all day and fast for 40 nights for them, they're going to backslide. Always being carried around by somebody else. The problem with that is when the preacher's gone, the people don't know how to fight no more. The problem with that is when the singer backslides, they go empty and they dry up. Oh, but when you're strong and you're carrying yourself, you can follow the man of God. If the man of God falls, you don't fall. You keep on moving. Hey, I tell you, I don't care to help you. I don't care to lift you up. I believe in lifting up the hands that hang down. I believe in strengthening the feeble knees. I really do. I enjoy praying with you. I enjoy praying for you. I enjoy preaching to you. I enjoy, like I'm doing this morning, I'm trying to encourage you and make you a better Christian. And I must be honest, I don't want a church that I've got to carry all the time. I want a church that can pray in the Spirit, whether they're in church or not. I want a church that can shout in the cornfield with a hoe in their hand without no song, without no preacher, just them and God. I want a church that if I backslide, they may cry. Oh, but I can hear them as they go back to church. If a lamb don't go, I'm going on. I'm on my way. The Canaan land, say amen, saints. Oh, those that'll say, well, I love Brother Lamb as a lamb, but if they don't go, it won't hinder me. Hey, are you listening to me? You can have a personal walk with God that doesn't hinge upon somebody. You can have a walk with God that hinges upon Jesus Christ and Him and Him alone. And if the world goes up in flames, you can be standing still and say, if anybody backslides, I can still love God. I'm on my way to Canaan land. This man could not hold down a steady job. He was considered less than a normal human, incapable of doing a job for anybody or anywhere. His problem? How many knows what his problem was? It wasn't his legs. It was his ankles. His ankles. Now, it's often preached it was his legs, but there was nothing wrong with his legs. It was his ankles. He was not retarded. He was not mentally handicapped. He was not deformed. He was not twisted. He had all of his faculties. He had all of his body parts. But he had one problem. Did you hear me? One problem. His ankles. He was not a freak of nature. He had one problem. Did you know this morning that one thing can hinder you from going where God wants you to go? Did you know that? I remember I've told it a couple times. I feel led to tell it again. I was preaching. I just started preaching. And I would take my Bible to Walmart with me. And I sure took it to the church with me. And they would always testify, this one man, everything that carries a Bible ain't a preacher. I knew who he was talking to. I was the only preacher in there. And I got to where I took him to church, took him to churches with me. I took him to work with me. I took him to bed with me. I couldn't sleep because of him. I was on the work site with this man telling me, you can't preach, you can't preach, you can't preach, you can't preach. And I let him cripple me. One man, one person crippled me, and I became stuck at the gate. One thing can stop you from progressing in the things of God. Sometimes one thing can stop you from being what God has called you to be. Sometimes you can help yourself. Sometimes you cannot. Some things you messed up yourself. Other things you were born with. Whatever the case is for you today, you cannot let one thing knock you out of being what God has called you to be. You've got to get away from that gate. Help us, Holy Ghost. One thing. I know I could probably do that, Brother Lamb, but I've got this little problem. I know I could probably go, Lord. I know God will help, but I got this little problem. I would do that, Brother Lamb, but I just can't get over this one. How many times have we heard that? Over and over until it makes me sick. One thing got you stuck. One thing robbing your victory. It's your ankles, my friend. And the devil said it's your legs. It's too little for you to lose your victory. Shut that thing off. Get rid of that thing. Hey, you're stuck at the gate. He was in a beautiful place. I'm almost done. No more than another hour. Hallelujah. He was in a beautiful place with an ugly problem. He was stuck at the gate. Though he was so close, he was not strong enough to get in. He was not strong enough to help himself. He sure wasn't strong enough to help nobody else. He wasn't strong enough to get up and walk on his own. He needed some help. But here came Peter and John. this place. This is the only place he's ever known. This is where he was raised at. This is where he grew up at. This is all he ever knew, Brother Johnson. He was laying at the place he'd always laid at. And people knew he was going to be down there. It got to where they would walk over top of him and didn't even care about him. He had done, resided in his mind, I'm going to always be at the gate. I'll never get out of the gate. And Mama said, I can't leave the gate. But you listen to me. Faith and worship are coming by the gate today. I said faith and worship are coming by the gate. Oh, laying at the gate, a man shaking a cup. He's begging for alms. Oh, hallelujah. He's begging for what he wants. But they're going to give him a healing. I mean, knows God knows what you need this morning. Yeah, you're wanting things. But God knows what you need. And he's going to supply that need. Here's a man begging for money. Oh, I know he's in a beautiful place. He is in a bad, ugly situation. I know he had been like this his whole life. He thought he would always be like this. But how many knows God can turn it around? I said, God, he can turn it around for you. Oh, my God. Peter cried out, look on us. He thought he was going to get what he wanted. But God was going to give him what he needed. Some of your problem is you've been asking for what you wanted instead of what you needed. You need to put your cup up and say, whatever I need, God, would you give it to me? Oh, help us, Holy Ghost. He knows what you need today. Peter said, silver and gold have I none. If you're back with me about 10 more minutes, I'll be done. I never preach this long. You know I don't. Silver and gold have I none. Now, some of you have spent your entire life focusing upon what you don't have. Silver and gold have I none. You never go anywhere in life because silver and gold have I none. But Peter didn't stop right there. He said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. Somebody say, such as I have. I don't have, but I do have this. I don't got that. Yeah, you're right. I do got this. I may not be able to do that. I can do this. Hey, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. I may not have it all, but I got a few things. I may not have that. Oh, but I got this. I may not be able to dance like some or sing like some. Oh, but I can do a few things. I may not be able to preach like Curtis T. Oh, but I can do this. I may not be able to do that. Hey, don't tell me, devil, that God can't use me. I may not have everything, but I got a few things, and I'm going to let God have them. I'm going to let him use them. Hey, get away from that gate. Let me hurry. Let me get finished. I don't have, but I do have. I don't have that, but I do have this. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. Now some of you are saying, well, Brother Lamb, if Peter would come by my gate and would preach to me like he preached to him, then I could be healed. But I had a marvelous revelation. Well, I felt like one anyway. This is not true. I want you to look closer at this passage. The lame man was still lame after Peter's sermon. It wasn't silver and gold have I none, such as I have I give to thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise and walk. That wasn't what healed him. He was still lame at the gate. And so I'm telling you right now, this sermon, it may not be enough to lift you up, but I want to say something to somebody today. I'll read this verse to you. And it proves an evidence of what I'm saying. He was still lame after Peter's sermon. Verse 7, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. But a lamb, I can't get up because I'm crippled. And God never asked you to do something you can't do. But on the contrary, God always asks you to do something that you can't do. That way when He reaches down and snatches you up, everybody knows it was God and it wasn't you. And God will get the glory in your life. Hallelujah. Oh, when the Lord, I'm about to, I think, gets ready, you gotta move. We sing it up in Kentucky. You gotta move. Oh, you gotta move. You gotta move. You've heard that song? Well, when the Lord gets ready, you gotta move. And He leaping up stood. Hey, would everybody stand across the house? He leaping up stood and walked, entered with them into the temple. Listen to me real close and I'm going to close. Walking and leaping and praising God. Walking and leaping and praising God. Listen, my little girl sing that song. And they knew that it was He which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which happened to him. And as a lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Hallelujah. Am I preaching anybody this morning? Say amen. Reach over, touch your neighbor, say, get away from that gate. Come on, say, get away from that gate. Grace, get away from that gate. Sister Jacqueline, get away from that gate. Oh, get away from that gate. I've been at the gate too long. Arise and walk. I know you got a problem, but you stand up by faith and you will be healed. His ankle bones receive strength. He was in the temple walking and leaping and praising God. Now you may not walk and you may not leap and praising God. That's okay. But don't you have a fit when I do. Because I remember when Jesus came by. He didn't just whisper a few good words. He reached His arm down and He grabbed me by the arm. He jerked me and said, get away from the gate. And here I am. What about you? Are you already stuck at the gate? Or are you going to get away? Well, praise the holy name of Jesus anyhow. Wow. Praise the Lord. Anyhow, I remember when I was stuck at the gate. I've been stuck at the gate many times, but it never failed. Jesus Christ came by and said, arise up and walk. And He reached and took my hand and He pulled me up and strength came into my ankle bones. Hey, get away from that gate. Whatever's holding you down, get away from that gate. If being your friend is hindering my walk with God, I see ya. I wouldn't want to be ya. Get away from that gate. Hey, I got places to go and people to see and things to do. I ain't got time to be stuck at the gate for the rest of my life. I got to get up. I got to get up. I got some books I got to write. I got to get up. I got a church I got to pastor. I got to get up. I got to get up. I got to get out of this gate. I got children that need saved. I got to get out of this gate. I've got family that need God. I got to get out of this gate. This church is in revival. And if I get stuck, I'll be dragging them behind. Get away from that gate. Hey, don't let your pride stick you. Don't let people stick you. Move on out. God is calling us today. He's crying out. Get away. Get away. Get away. Are you going to help me preach? Get away from that gate. God is calling God's miracle mission to come out of the gate. Hallelujah. Lift your hands across the house. Hallelujah. Oh my God. Oh God. Sister Peggy, could you come to the piano? This morning I felt like asking you to put on the piano. You're just right here. Oh God, get away from the gate. Oh, can you bow your heads with me, please? And close your eyes. I want to talk to a soul or two here this morning. Oh, you're stuck. You're stuck at the gate. Just thank you, Jesus. Stuck at the gate. You've been right where you are for a long time. I don't know what's got you stuck. Maybe it's been change for you. Maybe it's been the past for you. Maybe it's people for you. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's a habit. Maybe it's a place. Maybe it's a situation. Maybe it's a job or a work. I don't know what's got you stuck. But there's nothing worth being stuck at the gate. There's nothing worth robbing you from getting in the temple, my friend. You've been at the gate for a long time. You've watched the priests go in and out. You've watched how they've been stupid and done ignorant things. And you said, I don't want to go back to the temple. And I don't want to go back out in the world. And so you found yourself stuck, my friend. But God is calling your name. It's time for you to get unstuck. You got some places you got to go. You got some things you got to do. And God is calling your name. Today is your day to come out of the gate. Hey, I feel the Holy Ghost. You might as well look at me. I feel like preaching. Get out of that gate. My God has told me to tell you, if you stay in that gate, you're going to die. But if you get up, you're going to have a walk and leap and a praise in God again. You're going to get your joy back. You're going to get your victory back. You're going to get the glory back. Get away from that gate. Hallelujah. I'm just going to open the altar up. I feel the glory of Almighty God. Come out of those pews. Slip out. Come down to this altar. Pray. Call out to God. Get away from that gate. Oh, get away from that gate. Now get away from that gate. Get away from that gate. You know, but the lamb don't know what's got you stuck, but you know. You know. It's going to hold you forever. You got to get away from the gate. You got to get away from the gate. My. Holy Father, please move.